So preparing the sermon was a little bit easier than sometimes the last few times I've prepared. I'm not as stressed out because if I say something wrong, it's not like they can fire me. With all jokes aside, when Randy told me that he'd like me to preach, he said, you know what, Alex, you can preach and I'll give you the reins. I trust you. You can label it. You can title your sermon. Since I'm leaving, here's what I really want to say, and that's not really what I want to do. I've had a sermon kind of in my heart for a little while, and the way that it works, I guess, if I have this parable of the two sons in Matthew chapter 21. You can turn there in your Bibles as we get started. But I was like, you know, I want to preach the parable of the two sons. And as you start reading, you're like, I can't just preach the parable of the two sons. I'm going to have to preach on all of Matthew 21 if I really want to be faithful to the scriptures. But I'm going to start off, as you guys are turning to Matthew 21, I want to tell you a couple things I learned in Oklahoma. I learned that beans and taters is an acceptable meal, and they're not just side dishes. So we have beans and potatoes in Florida. Here we have beans and taters, and that's it. Maybe some pickles and some onions, and cornbread. It's way better with cornbread. So I've got in life groups had Miss Carla show Olivia how to make beans and cornbread, and so we're going to be taking that home to Florida. We'll also be taking home biscuits and gravy. And good, it's not going to be the same without blue and gold sausage, which that's another thing that I've learned here in Oklahoma. Sausage gravy just isn't the same without blue and gold sausage. But I also learned from Christy that there's such a thing as chocolate gravy. And so, like, with chocolate gravy and biscuits, that's something I've enjoyed. It's something we'll be taking back. Randy likes to say that I learned what a palate was while I'm here. Which is not just what you have sod on, because in Florida, it's pallets are just for sod. It's pretty much what they're for, or for things in a warehouse. But pallets, a thing, you know, where you get your blankets out and you get all ready to watch a movie. Like, that's, and I've learned as more and more people are kind of new to our church, and Randy makes fun of me for not knowing what a pallet was, and people keep coming to church and they're like, I don't know what a pallet is either. That's what I thought it was. So I've learned that not everybody, like, isn't used to all the Okie-isms, but I think one of the coolest things that's going to be neat about going to Florida is I'll be about a minute and a half from a Chick-fil-A. sometimes we would go on runs. It's about a mile and a half run to get to Chick-fil-A, and someone would stay at the house and take their turn not running and drive the car, and we'd all eat there at Chick-fil-A and then drive home. But one thing that doesn't happen in Oklahoma because Chick-fil-A is a half hour away for us is that you can't just drive up to Chick-fil-A and realize they're closed. Like, over in Orlando, you can go and you're like, oh, let's stop by Chick-fil-A because it's right on the way home. Like, Chick-fil-A's not just right on the way home here. So if we're going, we're thinking about it. And we'll be like, hey, let's go get Chick-fil-A. It's Sunday. Oh, okay. But that's something, I don't know if you guys have ever done that, or you've just been super excited to go somewhere, to eat somewhere, and you drive up, and then you go to walk in, and the door's locked, and you realize it's closed, and there's no food. That is what happens in our story today. And so our sermon today, if you could throw up the title for me, of the notes, sorry, I put it a couple of different ways. I've got it written here, one father and two trees. But as I was thinking about it, I was thinking two sons and a fig tree. And the parable of the two sons, in conjunction with the story of the fig tree in Matthew 21, if you guys would look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, and we'll get started. We're going to read the scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask, shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. And when he was come into the temple, the priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say, From heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not believe him? But if we shall say, Of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, The first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that you might believe him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the words of Jesus, God. Thank you for your word, that we can learn from it, that we can grow from it, God. I pray that we would learn something from these stories, God, from the parable and from the questions Jesus has for the scribes, God. I pray that you would just be with us this morning as we learn from your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you guys would look at verses 23 through 27, there's a few things that happen in these verses, where there's the parable of the two sons, there's a thing that happened with the fig tree, Jesus cast out the money changers. But I want to start there in verses 23 through 27, because the Pharisees, the chief priests and the elders of the temple, the scribes, they have an issue with Jesus. They don't like him. We're already in Matthew chapter 21. There's already been 20 chapters of Jesus just being someone that they don't like and they don't appreciate. And so they finally come up to him and they say, By what authority do you do these things? And I think one of the things that we need to recognize in this is that even though they didn't like Jesus, they understood that Jesus came with authority. He was doing things that necessitated him coming from somewhere else, whether it was from heaven or whether it was from hell. They knew that he was doing something. He was working. He was getting after it. He was causing things to happen, healing people, changing lives. They asked him, By what authority and who gave it to you? Not just that you could claim authority, but that it has to be given. Especially authority that's given from the Father. And so Jesus is asking them, Hey, well, what about the baptism of John? Where did that authority come from? Because you see, to be a prophet, to be regarded as a prophet, it has to be understood that you have authority from God to speak his word. And so when Jesus, they're calling out to Jesus, and Jesus saying, Hey, like, what about John? And I think something that's significant is this is not just what about John. He says, What about John's baptism? Because at that point, the people weren't arguing whether or not John was sent from God. They regarded him as a prophet. If you guys were listening as I was reading, it said all regarded him as a prophet. They already recognized his authority, but Jesus said, hey, no, it's not about who John was, it's about who he was preaching about. The one who would come later, that he wasn't fit to unleash his sandal. What he was preaching about was the baptism of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where did the authority to preach that message come from? And I think it's really interesting. A couple of weeks ago, Randy preached on Elijah, and Elijah being stuck in the mountains, and in the story before Elijah flees to the mountains, he's on Mount Carmel, and he's having this duel with the prophets of Baal, and really the prophets of Baal were actually the servants of the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. It wasn't some heathen nation that Elijah was fighting against. It was the prophets that served the king of the northern tribes of Israel. And so Elijah's up there on the mountain, and he's calling out to the people. They gather everybody. They gather all of the prophets of Baal. They gather all the people. Call all of Israel to the mount. And they get up onto the mountain, and in 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah says, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." And what it says there in 1 Kings 18:21 is it says, but the people said nothing. He called them to choose. He called them to choose, but the people said nothing. So we have this question of authority. Where did Jesus' authority come from? Where did John's authority to preach the repentance and baptism, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand? If you want to enter the kingdom, you have to repent. So all these people were coming to John for repentance, and the chief priests and the scribes were standing on the shore watching all the publicans and the sinners and the harlots go out into the water and be baptized and repent of their sins. They're not liking it. No, they don't like this message. But Jesus is basically, in asking them, where is his authority? Where did the authority of John's teaching come from? Where does the authority of the baptism of John come from? And his question is the same as the question that Elijah posted on Mount Carmel. He says to the chief priests and the scribes, how long will you waver between two opinions? And you know what they said? We cannot tell. Because, number one, they'd have to say John's from heaven. They didn't like what he was teaching, so they couldn't do that. But number two, they were scared of people, not of God. And they said, we cannot tell. So we know there's authority. We know there's authority there from heaven to Jesus, from heaven to John. You obviously see the authority from heaven to Elijah, because it comes down in a flaming ball of fire that even eats up the rocks and scorches the ground. But we keep going, and point number two is, how can you assess whether or not Jesus' authority is from heaven or from hell? Hey, assess the fruit. How can you tell if a tree is good or not? You take a look at the fruit. And so this is where I was like, I wanted to preach on the parable of the two sons. Like, no, but well, when you preach the parable of the two sons, you're probably going to have to preach what happened to the fig tree. And that's not super easy, because Jesus is walking past a tree and he's hungry and it doesn't have fruit. And he says, all right, you're never going to have fruit on you again. And it withers right there in the eyes of the disciples. And they're astonished. Because at this time, this is as they're coming in, this is in the time of right before that we celebrate Easter, that they would have celebrated the Passover, which is, as we know, in the early springtime. As the plants are starting to leaf and bud, and fig trees back in those days were known to start getting full and leafy and have small figs on them. It wasn't full season, right? But it was as the season was starting, and figs were expected to be on the trees at that time. And so Jesus is walking down the road, and he's hungry. And he goes up to the tree expecting some Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. I'm just kidding. That's not true. Chick-fil-A is totally righteous in being closed on Sunday. But he goes up to the fig tree. That's just where my mind was going. It's like going up and it's like, oh man, I'm so ready for a chicken sandwich. Spicy chicken deluxe with pepper jack cheese, a large Dr. Pepper, and a large fry. With three Chick-fil-A sauces. And maybe a sriracha if we're feeling spicy. But Jesus goes up to this tree and it's full of leaves. It's green. It's ready. It's saying, I should have fruit. Come eat. I have fruit. Come and eat. And Jesus shows up and there's no fruit on the tree. I called Mr. Scott Landgraf yesterday and was asking him about trees. I called my dad earlier this week and was asking about some trees we had in our backyard. We had avocado trees and apricot trees and when we lived in California. And I was like, those trees were producing fruit. We just got rid of those to have a soccer field in our backyard. Really nice. It was one of the best yards I've ever lived in or played in, whatever. But I was like, that's not really what I was looking for. And so I was driving, picking them up at the airport yesterday, and I was like, I'm going to call Scott Landgraf. I'm going to ask him about trees. I think I remember hearing what he does when he finds a tree that doesn't produce fruit. And I called Mr. Scott. And I was like, hey, what do you do when you got a pecan tree that's just not producing? He says he goes about three seasons, and after three strikes, you're out. Jesus is not Scott Landgraf. We might think Scott Landgraf is Jesus sometimes. I definitely call him a dear friend. But Jesus did not give that fig tree three strikes. He showed up and it said it was supposed to be producing fruit. And it didn't have any. You will never produce fruit ever again. And it withered in the eyes of the disciples. And their eyes were just open. Like, how did he just do that? So I've been here in Oklahoma, and in Oklahoma, there's seasons. That's one thing that I won't take home to Florida. There's seasons in Oklahoma where we came and visited in February in view of the call here, and everything was brown and there was nothing on the trees. Like, but it's gradual, right? It's not like one day like there's leaves on the tree and then like they're gone. And then the trees looks like they're dead, but they're gonna come back to life in the spring. Like that's not how this happened. It was just immediate right there, and the disciples were amazed and astonished, and Jesus told them, Hey, relax. You have that same power, and we'll have that same power if you have faith. And I'm not going to just skip over the verses. I'm going to address it when he says in verse 20, they say, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled. How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but if you shall say to this mountain, be removed, it shall be done and cast into the sea. And all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And so that's not just a license to say, hey, go pray for what you want or what you think you want. There's some verses in James and in 1 John that say, hey, if you need to pray, and when you pray and you ask in God's will, he'll provide it to you. When you pray and you ask in God's will, he will give it. And James, he says, well, you pray and you receive not because you ask amiss to spend it on your own lusts. He's telling his disciples this, and he's saying, hey, you can do it if you don't doubt and if it's in my will. Not one part of Scripture is separate from everything else. It all works in conjunction. And with that being said, I want to see in verses 12 through 17 that Jesus had fruit from eternity. If any of you guys might know, you guys go in and you read in my Bible, there's stars. I don't know if you can see it, but there's stars next to prophecies that came true. When you read verses 12 through 17, it says, and the blind and the lame came to him, and he healed them. And in verse 12, it says, the zeal of his father's house has eaten him up. That's in the Psalms. That the zeal of his father's house has eaten him up. He came in, he threw everyone out because they made it into a den of thieves when it was supposed to be a house of prayer. Jesus is doing these things, and he's doing them, and he's calling them out. And they know he's got authority, But the scribes and the chief priests, the people that are supposed to know the Bible best, aren't recognizing that everything that Jesus is doing is what he said he would come to do. And I think John doubted because he was in prison and he couldn't see everything. Because John saw him and he saw the glory coming on him like a dove. But John was arrested shortly thereafter, so all the signs that Jesus started doing after he was baptized and went out in the wilderness, John didn't get to see all that stuff. So when his disciples went to Jesus and said, "Hey, are you the one? Are you the Messiah?" John was encouraged, or I bet John was encouraged, because the repentance that he was preaching, because the kingdom of God is at hand, his disciples could see it even though he was in prison. He was preaching for it and looking forward to it, but never got to see it, just like the rest of the prophets. We, being Christians as believers nowadays, we can see the things that Jesus has done and know that it's pointing all to him. And the last thing I want you to see is that out of the mouth of babes, and said ye unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus said, "Have you never heard out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?" That's an Old Testament verse too. Jesus is hitting them upside the head with the things that they're supposed to know. And they're going to question his authority by what he's doing and the things that he's doing. You should be able to look at the fruit and see that the root is right. That the tree is healthy, that it's good. And the third point I've got is that there's a point where there's a discovery of the root. There's a discovery of the root. If you go to verse 28 through 32, I'm going to read it again because this is really what I wanted to teach on. Everything else was just the setup. Verse 28. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain," or nowadays English, which one of those two "did the will of his father?" They say unto him, "The first." Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him." And you see, there's two sons in this story. And there's one big difference that separates those two. And it's the same word from John's baptism. It's the same word from John's baptism, and that word is repentance. And you see, these two guys, they're sons. They're sons, and a son knows his father. But one of the sons repents, and a lot of times we'll look at the word repent, and the repentance in most of the scriptures is metanoia. It's a change of mind. The metanoia is the change of mind. So it's going to be understanding that sin is a reality and it is your reality. And aligning yourself with God, understanding that you're a sinner in need of grace. And it's changing your mind about your sin. Because you don't belong to God. And you know that by repentance, you will belong to God. That's your change of mind. The thing about two sons, and this is where the big rebuke is that when the son repented, the word is metamelomai. It's not about changing your mind about what's right and wrong. It's changing your heart about who is right. The first son said, "I will not." Basically saying, "I don't want to, it's not in my job description, I'm not going to go do it." And he repented. He had a change of heart for his father and the will of his Father. If you guys would know, you guys see Jesus in the garden, and when he's about to go on the cross, he says, not my will, but your will be done. That's what this son is saying. Because, you see, you can have a lot of head knowledge. You can know what the Bible says. You can be a tree that has leaves. But if your heart's not right, you're not going to produce fruit. That son's answer was barren. I will not. That's not putting leaves upon the tree. That's a bare tree. But do you know a bare tree with the power of God can produce fruit? That's what happened to Aaron's staff in the wilderness. Hey, who's supposed to be the high priest? Let's get everyone's staff and bring him in here. And the one that buds is my representative. You go to this son, and the son says, I will not. That's not producing leaves. But you look at the other son, he says, I will. I'm gonna do what you want. But there's no fruit. And you see, there's three possibilities with the trees. You can have leaves and no fruit. You can have no leaves and no fruit. But if you're producing fruit, there's going to be some leaves. It's going to happen. But there's no way you can produce fruit at all if you're not connected to the root. Because you see, we can try our best to live our lives and be righteous and do right and do what the Bible says. That's producing leaves. But if you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit, you're all leaves and no fruit. You could be like the publican and sinners and the harlot, someone who never knows God and never knew God, and just be a bare tree with no fruit. Both of those, I would tell you, are not saved. Or you can be a tree that's producing fruit and leaves. The fruit is the evidence of the Spirit. The leaves are the works that come alongside because you're connected to the root. And you see, there's one root that you have to be connected to. One root. I want you guys to look at verse 16. And he said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Some of your versions might read a little different. But that word for perfected, this blew my mind. The word for perfected is katartizo, is how you pronounce it. And in my Bible app, the one that I use is the Blue Letter Bible. You can click on the verse and it'll show you the words. It'll show you all the Greek words. It'll show you the English words and then the Greek word letter right next to it, the number of the word, and you can look it up in the Greek. You can also look up where that word is other places in the Bible. So that's what I did. What is this word for perfected? Because it's not like babies can't do anything perfect. It's just a reality. I try. Maybe they can smile perfect if you want to give that to them. But like you give a 5-year-old something, a 3-year-old something, a 1-year-old something, they can't do nothing perfect. You expect them to get it done. Hey, you better do it yourself if you want it to look. If you want the house to look ready for people to come look at it, you got to do it yourself because the 5-year-old's not going to do it right. But what does this word perfected mean? This ketartizo. And I looked, and in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, when Jesus comes and calls his disciples, they were ketartizoing their nets. They were mending their nets. Jesus is telling us here that the babies were fixing the praise of the scribes and the chief priests because they had it wrong. And the babies were mending it because they saw Jesus for who he was. Hosanna to the Son of David. They were ticked because the kids were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus tells them, hey, they are perfecting the praise that you have gotten wrong so long. I'm here. What are you going to do? Are you going to believe? Or are you going to keep going your own way? Because the chief priests and the scribes missed it. What was John's way? In verse 32, it says, John came unto you in the way of righteousness. What is the way of righteousness? It's repentance. The way of righteousness is repentance. If you want to be right with the Lord and you want to produce fruit, you have to repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ, who has laid it all on the cross and taken it all on the cross for you. All of your leaves that you're trying to produce, you're working so hard to just be acceptable and to be acceptable in the eyes of God. If you don't have fruit, it's not worth anything. And guess what? Jesus is the one that makes the fruit happen. And if you're not connected, if you haven't come to Him in repentance and asked forgiveness for your sins, you'll never produce fruit. And in the end, when Jesus comes back, you're going to be just like the fig tree, withered away. There's a lot of people in church that are just like the scribes and the Pharisees who do a lot of great things. But they've got praise wrong. As I was talking to Mr. Scott, there was something that really stood out to me, though. Because if you're striving and doing your best and working hard, like you're going to be leafing. You're going to be showing some good works, and people are going to see you. But they're not going to be filled by the works that you do, and you're not going to be filled, and the Spirit's not going to look at you and say, oh, yeah, that's great, good job. And I was asking Scott, what can you do if a tree isn't producing? Well, he said if it's a native and he hasn't tended it, and it's just a natural one. Once it stops producing, there's no hope. But he said, if one of his pecan trees stops producing and it's one of the trees that he's grafted, he can do some work to it and make it start producing fruit again. You see where I'm going? If you're in your life, and you're trying, and you know Jesus, you've been grafted in to the body of Christ through repentance, and you're trying, and you're trying, and you're trying, and you just can't get it right, you're just full of anxiety, and you're doing your best, and you can't hold it together. You can't hold it together because you're not attached to the root. And there's got to be a pruning, and it hurts, but it'll drive you back to Him. To where your nutrients are going to come from. I felt it. I've been there. I'm doing my best. I want to make it work. But doing it apart from Jesus will leave you a failure with no fruit. Sometimes tragedy has to happen. Where you're shaken. I don't know if you've ever seen one of Scott's trees get shook. Sometimes that's what God's got to do to you. But I hope you'd come to Him in repentance. That He would prune, that you would ask Him to prune off the things in your life that need to be gone so that you can stay connected to Him and you can produce real fruit and have peace and joy and love. Not just for others, but for yourself as well, because I get to that point where I'm just trying and I'm trying and I'm trying and I'm like, God, how can you love me? And Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You know what that word still means? It means cease. That's what Jesus was quoting in the New Testament. Those babies were praising Jesus so that the scribes and the Pharisees would be quiet so that His people could see Him for who He is. But we read the rest of Psalm 8 and it says, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou ordained? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, and yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus because you know you're a dry tree that doesn't produce leaves, or you look like you're a tree because you know the Bible a little bit, you've been coming to church all your life, but you never see fruit, repent, accept Jesus as your Savior today. Give it over to him. Get connected to the root. That's the first option. If you're not saved, and you don't know him, and you've never been connected, come in repentance. Repentance is turning away from your sin and agreeing with God that your punishment with sin was left on the cross when Jesus paid the price for you. If you're a believer and you're just weary, it's probably because you're not producing fruit, and it's more than likely because you haven't stayed connected to the root. Rededicate yourself to him. Maybe not rededicate yourself, just ask him to prune you. Repent of those sins that are holding you back, and repent of your anxieties that you haven't cast on him. The last thing is, if you're a tree producing fruit, you're going to share Jesus with people. You're going to let people know that they can have faith, they can have trust, they can be connected to the root and produce more fruit. When a tree produces fruit, those fruits fall off. And they produce more trees. Not by the work of the fruit, not by the work of the tree, but by the work of the Lord who causes those seeds to grow. And I want to leave you with this. There was a time in my life when I was a good kid. I knew my Bible verses. I knew what the Lord wanted. I tried to make my brothers obey my parents alongside of me. But I was far from God. And when I heard that Jesus took my place and did everything I was trying to do to get to him, I asked him to forgive me, place the weight of righteousness on him, and now I have peace and I have joy, because I know that if I mess up, that mess up's taken care of by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. How long will you waver upon two opinions? If you're all great doing your life by yourself, that's fine. But if Jesus is Lord, repent today. Come forward. Confess him before men, and he'll confess you before the Father. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the story of these two sons. Thank you for the story of the fig tree. Thank you that you can make a barren tree produce fruit, God. I pray that you'd help us to not be stuck on our anxieties or our cares or things that we're trying to do for you, God, but that we would stay connected to you, that you would produce fruit through us and in us to share with others. I pray that those today who are struggling, who don't have that peace of bearing fruit, that they would come in repentance of their ways, of holding on to their sin, of holding on to their anxieties and their cares. And I pray they would give them to you today. Give them to Jesus and rest. Repent. Have your cares changed. Even though sometimes you say, I don't want to, Father. that we would repent and we would obey and we would have fruits of obedience in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.